continue towards the high calling of Christ. And that's what he wants us to realize. When we understand how God operates and how God still loves us in spite of the things that we're going through, we'll understand the care that the Lord has for us. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to worry about our worries, our trials, our tests. We can give everything that we have over to Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us. And he was raised again so that we can have a right to the tree of life. And because of him dying for us, he bared our burdens, our trials, our tests, so we don't have to carry it ourselves. So when you look at this text right here, the first thing that we see is humility. This humility is to be shown not only in relations to others, but to God as well. The command, humble yourselves, could be translated, allow ourselves to be humbled. These trials and tests with the saints during Peter's time, though not sent by God, were permitted by the Lord. We need to humbly obey God regardless of present circumstances, and in his good time, either in this life or the next, he will lift us up. When you look at this right here, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God will sustain us in whatever situations we are going through, because he has a genuine concern about us. Those who were suffering persecution for Christ's sake could be encouraged by the fact that the same mighty hand that let them suffer would one day lift, exalt them up, and one day in the near future. So when you look at this right here, we see that we have humility in verse 6. And so, and we look at verse 7, Jesus cares about us. We look at verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When you look at the word casting, that means to throw upon. So we're talking about throwing upon the Lord. So it's not a light thing for God to see us going through things. Believers are privileged to cast all their anxieties, their worries, and their problems on the Lord with confidence that he cares for us. In verse 7, there are two types of care: anxious care and affectionate care. Anxious care, in the words casting all your care upon him, is the idea of distractions. Affectionate care, in the words he cares for you, is a concern that the Lord has for us. So we don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to be sidetracked. We don't have to be burdened down. We don't have to be depressed, because our Lord and Savior cares for us. Worrying is for the believer is unnecessary. We are all guilty of worrying, but it is unnecessary. There is no need for us to bear our own burdens when he is willing to bear them for us. So we as saints have to realize, when we have a relationship with Christ, we have given ourselves to him, and he is our personal Lord and Savior, we don't have to worry about a lot of things. I know when you're talking about worrying, I know it's difficult. It's a difficult thing. We know that sometimes people will worry. I mean, we all worry. When something happens, when we have problems, when things go on in our life, we'll worry. It's human to worry, but it's not human to we got to understand it's not necessary for us to worry. And so God wants us to understand that we can cast our burdens on him. And so when you look at that right there, when you talk about casting, throwing it on the Lord, he will carry our burdens for us. So worry is, there is no need for us to bear our own burdens. So we can, the Lord will bear it for us. Worry is futile. And it hasn't solved any or resolved any problems yet. I mean, I can tell you, I can just think back on some times when myself worrying and doing things, you know, and stuff going on in my life, it have not resolved not one issue. Only thing that's going to resolve the issues that we have and the things that we're going through, we got to give it over to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we don't give it over to Him and you continue to worry about it, continue to care it for yourself, it's not going to do you any good. That's why it says to for us to cast our cares upon Him. He's the one can carry it for us. He's the one that can resolve it for us. Any issues, any afflictions, any problems that we go through can be resolved through Jesus Christ. We can't resolve it ourselves. We got to give it over to Him. So when we sit at home and be depressed, we worry about what people think about us, worry about what we're going through, we need to give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Worry denies the power of God. It says that He isn't able to deliver us from whatever we are going through and causing us to worry. God helps those who are distressed because He is merciful and He cares. Our confidence should rest in the fact that Christ is genuinely concerned for our welfare. So we ought to be elated that Christ is genuinely concerned about us. See, we as Christians, we got to learn that we always walking around downtrodden, our heads hanging low. We don't know how to worship and praise the Lord because we're going through things. God is worthy of our praise. He's looking for our praise. And the more we go through, we need to learn how to praise and worship and magnify His holy name. When we're going through tests, when we're going through things, sometimes we look at it as hard to keep a positive attitude as a Christian. But we need to keep a positive attitude because of the fact that He is carrying the burdens for us. The only problem we have is we got to give it to Him. If we carry it ourselves and we don't give it to the Lord, then it's not going to do us any good. Because when we worry, God is wondering why we're not giving it over to Him. And you can pray, you can say you want to give it over to the Lord, but if you continue to worry about the same thing, you truly have not given it over to Him. And so when you don't give it to Him, then there's nothing that He can do about it because you're carrying that burden, that guilt, that weight for yourself. So our confidence should rest in the fact that Christ is genuinely concerned for us. We serve the only living, powerful, and almighty God who can do anything, but He just can't fail. We don't have a problem telling people about this, but we have a problem displaying it in our lifestyles. God don't want us to actually go around and not be able to show forth what He's doing for us in our life. God blesses everybody different. God deals with everybody different. God does everything in His own time. Just because He haven't answered your prayer right now, just because He haven't answered the prayer you've been praying for a while, God does everything in His own timing. And so we got to understand that we as Christians, we serve a living, powerful, and almighty God. And so if we believe that and we say that He can't fail, then we ought to walk in victory and showing that the God that we serve cannot fail. What kind of Christians are we always walk around with our heads hanging low? We always got a bad attitude. When people see us, we got a frown on our face. We don't never have a good thing to say. We don't never try to praise the Lord. We can post stuff on social media. We can say positive things through text messages, but our lifestyle reflects that we truly don't have a good relationship with Him because of the way we carry ourselves. God see how we treat each other. He see how we treat our fellow man. He see how we treat our enemies. And God has a recipe how we do things. And that's why we have to cast our cares on him, because he cares for us. So when you look at care, God is concerned about his children. And when we go through things and we know that our Lord and Savior is concerned about us, then the thing that we need to do is we need to display it in our walk with him. So when people see us, we ought to be different. We ought to be a light. We ought to be so fired up by our Lord and Savior that folks want to give their life to him. Who want to give their life to Christ when we always down? Who wants to give our life, get their life to Christ when we always murmuring and complaining? Who want to get their life to Christ when you always going through it? You don't never have a positive note, never have a positive day. When we talking about the saints, the church of God, when you love Jesus, you going to lift up his holy name no matter what you going through. And see, the problem you have right here with 1 Peter in this text, the early saints were going through these things. But Peter was encouraging them so that they don't fall away from the faith. So we have people who leave church. They fall away from church because they feel like they're not getting what they need to get. You got to give everything that you have to Jesus and let him carry it for you. Let him carry those weights for you. And so when we do that, we got to understand that we're being a light to those that's around us. And so telling people about Jesus is not always what people are looking for. People are looking for how we live our life. If you go to work, you live in your community, you don't speak to nobody, you isolate yourself, everything is always going wrong, then there's a problem with your relationship with Christ. God wants us to have a blessed life. God wants us to have a positive life. He's looking out for his children because he cares for us. So we don't have to always carry our burdens, our problems, our anxieties with us, because we need to give it over to the Lord. So when we look at what the text is talking about, how do we stay focused and exemplify the care and love of God? In verse 8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. When you look at this right here, although we as saints should not worry, we must be sober-minded. What are we talking about being sober-minded? Sober means to be serious-minded. To be realistic, to have a realistic approach to life. To be intelligent concerning the wiles of the devil. What God wants us to do is, he wants us to dig into his word. He wants us to come to Bible study. He wants to come to worship service. He wants to come in and praise him. When you start doing that, things will start opening up for you, and you'll see that your mind will be stayed on Jesus. See, what the devil wants you to do is he want to remove that focus that you have on the Lord. See, the more you stay away from Christ, the more you not study, the more you don't come to church and worship and fellowship with your saints, the more your mind is going to be on your problems, your anxieties, and your worries, but it's not going to be on Jesus. Jesus wants us to be sober-minded, and we need to have our mind stayed upon him. In other words, sober-minded means to be self-disciplined and to think rational and not foolishly. See, it's foolish to think that God don't care about you. It's foolish to think that the problem that you have, that everybody in America don't have issues going on with them. I don't care how much you love the Lord. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much you come to church. Everybody gonna go through some trials, some tests, some afflictions, and some issues. So we all go through the same thing. The difference is how we handle it. And so when we handle our tests and afflictions and give them over to Him, then we'll learn how to be sober-minded with Christ. Not only should we be sober-minded, He said that we need to be vigilant. So we need to be vigilant because of our adversary. Believers are privileged to cast all their anxieties, worries, and problems on the Lord with confidence He cares. So we have to understand that we have to give it over to Him. And we give it over to Him, He wants us to be vigilant. So the vigilance that we have is we must be alert. So what do we mean by being alert, being active? We must be vigilant. It means to be alert to the spiritual pitfalls of life and take appropriate steps to make certain that we do not stumble. So when you be vigilant and you be alert, you are on alert for our adversary, the devil. That's what we have to be on alert for. See, what the devil's desire is for you to be depressed. The devil's desire is for you to actually have a bad attitude when it comes to the things of God. The devil wants us to fail. He don't want us to have a good relationship with Christ. So what we have to do is we have to be vigilant and we have to be on alert for Him. So not only have to be sober, but we also have to be vigilant. We as Christian people have to have a vigilant mindset that we can see what the devil is trying to do in our lives. And we need to oppose what he's trying to do. We don't need to stumble. And the only way we can prevent from stumbling is we have to be vigilant. Not only should we be vigilant, we need to recognize our adversary. So a lot of things that we go through is because of the devil, our adversary. Our adversary, the devil, is a powerful adversary. Here he is described as a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And that's what he go about doing. He's always going before the Lord, accusing the saints. He's always accusing us, the brethren. He's always doing that. He's doing that because he wants to create a stumbling block for you. He wants you to go through things. He wants you to carry your own burdens. He wants you to go through your own trials and your tests. You can't do it on your own. You got to do it through Jesus. Because the devil is so strong. Our adversary is a powerful adversary. And so when they put him to the likened as being a roaring lion. We don't have no ability to fight a lion on our own, not being a man, because it'll be too strong for us. That animal's too strong to fight us. So we got to understand that he's like a roaring lion. Satan desires to maul and devour Christians spiritually. And see, that's how that's what he tried to do for our hearts and our minds. He wanted to devour us spiritually. So we need to stay focused on Jesus Christ. He wants to defeat believers, testimonies of Jesus Christ. And that's what he want to do. He don't want you to have a testimony of God. He don't want you to tell folks about the goodness of the Lord. Just because we're not doing what our neighbors are doing, just because we don't have what somebody else have, God is still good to us. He's good to us all the time. See, it's not about material things. It's not about material focus. It's about what he's doing for us. And so what the Satan desires to do is to kill our testimony of Jesus Christ. You got to understand that having your health, having your strength, having being clothed in your right mind, knowing the kitchen from the bathroom, that's a blessing that you can't get from nowhere. Money and material things can't buy everything. So don't be depressed because you don't have what you want to have. I was sharing with our students, our children's students one day, the last Bible study we had, and I was telling them about Steve Jobs. I told them that he was the CEO of Apple. Steve Jobs had all kind of, he had a lot of money. He's a billionaire. But he caught pancreatic cancer. He can get the doctors that any money can buy. He can have doctors that we can't afford to have. But that still didn't save him. He still died and went on where he was going. Because we got to understand that God is good to us. He's keeping us. He's the one who's allowing us to continue to go on no matter what's going on in our life. And so the devil wants to defeat the believer's testimony. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil come against what God is doing in your life. So we got to be positive saints. We got to be on fire for the Lord. God is tired of us being dead in church. He's sick of dead worship. He wants us to be on fire for him. When you come to church, nobody has to tell you if you're not worshiping the Lord the way you should. You know yourself. And so we got to change our attitude about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants us to keep our heads held down. Always looking in defeat, not willing to give God the praise that he deserves. And so we got to understand that we cannot be defeated because we're victorious in Christ. Our God has been so good to us, and he is merciful and kind. God never promised that we won't have trials and tests and problems, but his desire is for us to live in victory with him. Don't let the devil get you down and enjoy the Christian life that we have with our Lord and Savior. We need to present all worries, anxieties, and problems to God in order to let him handle it. I came by tonight to let you know that the Lord cares for all of us. It don't matter small or great. Don't be fooled that the Lord don't care for you. When you look at cares, I'm reminded of the parable of the sower. And when Jesus was explaining it, and he was talking about the cares of this world. See, when you sow his word on stony ground, when you're not committed, when you don't want to have a heart for the Lord, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches enter in and they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. When it becomes unfruitful, you cannot be the saint or the Christian that you need to be. And so when you look at that right there, God knows that when we start dwelling on the cares, we start dwelling on the deceitfulness of riches, and we got to understand that those things choke out the word of God. So don't let your problems become greater than the word of God. When we come to church and the pastor's preaching and teaching, When we're in worship service, the choir singing, when the deacons is in devotion, we need to participate. Enter in. Don't let our problems weigh us down, but let God be magnified in our life. And that's what we need to do as saints. So God is good to us, and he's good to us all the time. And I tell you that he is a great God, and the Lord cares about us. No matter how you feel about it, no matter what you're going through, the Lord cares about us. May God bless you. May God keep you. Amen. Amen.
Certainly we thank God for Reverend McCoy. What a great job he has done in sharing the word. I wanted to come before you to thank you for your big-heartedness, your support and prayers for my family and I as we go through this time of bereavement. I also wanted to read for you what I consider foundational passage or foundational verses that keeps us, and also encourage you to intake the word. Intake the word. Now, you can't become matured when something happens. Maturity is a process. Okay? It's a process. And it requires spiritual disciplines. So that when the rain descends and the winds blow, you don't collapse. Because you have exercised the spiritual disciplines to intake the word of God. Now, this is not just a story we read. It is a story, but it's not just a story. It's God disclosing himself to us, the Bible. And you need to know God. You need to know the sovereignty of God. Even in dealing with death, sometimes I think we challenge the sovereignty of God instead of accept the sovereignty of God. God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, to whomever he wants to do it to.
That's right.
Sovereignty of God. And this is something that is foundational to me. I want to read it to you, especially in our time of bereavement, as we are dealing with death of uncle, death of father-in-law. And you know, your understanding of allowing me to go aside to minister to my family, my wife and children and in-laws and immediate family. So I appreciate you more than words could ever express. And thank you for your prayers. And please continue to pray for us as we funeralize father-in-law on Saturday. Pray especially for my mother-in-law. She was such a caretaker to my father-in-law. And she took pride in taking care of him. And that's why I know I have a good wife, because she's like her mama. Amen. So, but let me read this to you, and I want you to put this in your spiritual arsenal or your spiritual space, that you refer back to it often as you go through. This is something that keeps me. This is Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He," listen to this, "who did not spare his own son." So who are you to question God about taking your loved one unto himself? "If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge," listen to this, "against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." You know how special we are. Now, we're not talking about just Christian interceding for Christian. We're talking about Christ interceding for Christian. That he's praying for me. He's praying for you. He's praying for my family. Listen to this. "More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long." We're dying. "We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, everything that pertains to life in the earth, on earth, as we are on earth, all that he has listed, famine, persecution, and all that affects life on earth, he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, this is where it gets deeper than life as we know it on earth. He says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any else thing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here it is. The love of God never expires. The love of God never expires. How can you smile, Rogers, when you have lost an uncle and a father-in-law? Because I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the love of God. Hallelujah. Listen. Take that to heart. Put that in your spiritual storage space. And go back and pull it off the shelf and read it. And let it become a part of your faith, your belief, your perspective of God. Amen. Again, thank you. And we love you dearly. We'll be going back to Starkville on tomorrow after Bible study in the morning. I'll be teaching in the morning at 10. And thank you for Sunday. Thank you for tonight and your understanding of my need to minister to my family and be ministered to. Listen, you all don't know how much your prayers have helped. Amen. I know that Christ is praying for me and Christians are praying for me. And you here at New Bethlehem are praying for us. Amen. Anything else claim my attention? All right. Father, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. Thank you for, Lord, for such help as in the person of Reverend McCoy. Thank you, Lord, for his commitment, dedication to your kingdom work, that your kingdom is extended, exalted, and illustrated through in his study. We thank you, Father, for these your people that have come, those who are listening through the media outlets. Thank you for, Lord, just giving us your word. Lord, encouraging our hearts to do what Peter said we need to do because we have an adversary. Lord, we don't have to carry our own burdens because you never designed our shoulders to carry loads. Well, Lord, you have given us arms to cast, spiritual arms to cast our cares, to chunk, to throw our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. Sweet words in times of trouble. Sweet and consoling words in time of death that you care for us. Lord, words of courage as we go through trials and tribulation, you care for us. Thank you for caring for us. Lord, thank you for, Lord, giving us perspective of our enemy, the devil, who is powerful as a roaming lion, lying that's going hither and thither, seeking whom he may devour. But thank you for your divine protection. Lord, your eternal security. That we are more than conquerors. Even against our adversary, the devil. Lord, as always, we ask for forgiveness. Lord, and we pray for safety as we are traveling, as I travel on tomorrow after morning Bible study. And Lord, as your people who will come that way on Saturday, we pray for angelic protection. We pray for your divine hand to be upon us to keep us safe. Thank you, Lord. Give us celebration of life, Lord, and expressions of our gratitude, our appreciation unto you, Lord, for 72 years. Lord, we pray for the January family. Lord, as they be here celebrating his life and his legacy of preaching and teaching and kingdom work, we pray for Molly and his children. We lift them before you and pray that you guard and guide her and them. Lord, give them unity and oneness, that everything will be done according to your holy will to bring pleasure to your heart as a life of a preacher is celebrated. Lord, thank you for allowing me to know him and carving a space in my heart for Reverend January. Lord, we pray for the sick and shut in. We ask your hand to be upon our dear members and those of our community, and even those beyond our community that we know that said, when you pray, pray for me. We pray that you touch them with your healing hand and bring them, Lord, healing and deliverance. We pray for the incarcerated, those who have committed crime, they are still living souls. And Lord, they need to know your son Christ as a Savior. Lord, that we know that if Christ is received in the heart, conduct of the body and life will be realized. So take root, take place in their hearts. Become the captain of their souls and of their minds to give them a new life. Lord, we pray for those who are on the streets lost, those who are homeless. Lord, as we are approaching our Christmas season of celebration, that as we think on your gift of giving your son, Lord, we take on your spirit to give, to bless those less fortunate, not, Lord, so much in the same way, because we can never match your giving, because your son is a gift that keeps giving. But help us, Father, to have a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of love, a spirit of compassion, that we yearn in our bowels to give those less fortunate, that we don't just see the need, but Lord, we apply ourselves to eradicate needs. Bless our Christmas drive as we try to support Ronald McDonald House and St. Jude and people in need around us. Do a God-sized thing in us and through us for your glory. Lord, continue to pour out over New Bethlehem as we be a beacon in this community. Thank you for the cross that's on this building. Thank you for the cross that's in our hearts and minds. Keep Jesus fresh in our hearts and minds, that we ever will be appreciative of his sacrifice, Lord, his death, his resurrection, as the reason for our salvation and our service. Get the glory, Lord, and we know we'll be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.